Lesson today is found in the book of Genesis, the 12th and the 13th chapter. We left off speaking to you when we were dwelling upon Abraham, how that he had been called out of Ur, the Chaldees, and how God directed him into the land of Canaan, and that when he came into the land of Canaan, he traveled southward, and he built an altar unto the Lord, and the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him that he would give him and his seed this land in which he was come. And now we read in the 10th verse of the 12th chapter that there was a famine in the land. A famine is a dreadful thing when God brings this judgment upon any land. And this happened more than once in the land of Canaan in Bible history. And now Abraham had been told that this was the land that God was going to give to him. And it's spoken of in Scripture as being a land of that flows with milk and honey. And still there was a famine in this land. And being there was a famine in the land, well, Abraham had dire need of food, and likewise for his cattle that he had with him. So he decided to go down into the land of Egypt. In Egypt there was no famine, there was plentiful to eat, and so he decided that this is where he would go. He did not reckon with God in going down into Egypt. He did not reckon either with the promise that he had of God that this land was to be the land where he was to dwell, and this is where he would have an innumerable seed. No, he reckoned with the state and circumstances that he was in. He was in a famine. And therefore, he decided to go down to Egypt. So when he came near unto Egypt, he said unto his wife, he says, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. And now when we come into Egypt, probably they will take thee and they will kill me. So now when we come into Egypt, say that thou art my sister, that it may go well with me and that I may live. We have here then Abraham reckoning on what was going to happen to him and to his wife if he entered into Egypt as a man and a wife. He decided that she should say that she was his sister. This was not a lie. She was his sister, but she was of another mother. But this was just to cover up that they were married, just to cover up that he was not her husband. He was in this denying that she was his wife. Fortunately, the Bible does not shield the faults of these saints that have such a wonderful name. The historian brings out what Abraham did. In this, he was faulty. In this, he was going to be the subject of having his wife brought into danger, and likewise, the subject of leading the Egyptians to sin. She consented to this, which we cannot understand. According to Scripture, Sarah and Abraham were both gracious people. Instead of casting their burden upon the Lord in this land and saying, the Lord promised us, he will take care of us, he will supply us, they went in unbelief and in distrust to God down into the land of Egypt. And then when they came into the land of Egypt, but then some of these princes of Pharaoh, they saw this woman. She was very fair to look upon. What made the difference? The Egyptians, they were of a sallow complexion, but she was of a very fair and tender complexion. Another thing about it, how old do you think she was? She was 65 years of age at this present time. But you must remember that the race of people at that time that the world was in was very vigorous, because she didn't have any children yet. She then was a beautiful woman to look upon. And these princes, they commended her to Pharaoh, the king. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he took her into his house. When this took place, it was just like with Esther. Esther was taken in and to lie with the king to his bed. So she was taken in to be likewise his companion in his bed. See in what a terrible temptation that this Sarai was brought into. Here we have this woman in this house of this king, the Pharaoh. But this Pharaoh, he treated Abram very good, for he thought that she was his sister, and because of this, he gave Abraham oxen and sheep and cattle and much silver and gold. He treated Abram very well. It went well with him because Sarai was in the house of Pharaoh. But there was a God in heaven to whom Sarai and Abraham were attached to. And this God, he takes care of his people even though they sin against him. What did God do? He brought plagues upon Pharaoh and his house. What the plagues were, the Bible does not say. But they were plagues probably upon themselves personally, and very severely. And because of this, they were kept from sinning against God. It's a great blessing when God brings plagues upon us to keep us from sinning. He kept Pharaoh from sinning with Sarai. And when he brought these plagues upon these people, they seemed to come to their knowledge that they were for something. And the reason was her, Sarai. The commentary says they probably questioned her. And she came out with the truth, and she told them that Abraham was her husband. Now, of course, this was an awful thing for these Egyptians to be plagued, and likewise to be brought into temptation concerning this woman. The plagues came from God, and they realized this. Now, these people were much better than what Abraham supposed them to be. He didn't have very good thoughts of these people, and he thought that they would kill him and take her. But much to his surprise, they did not do this. But this king, he called Abraham to himself, and he reproved him. He spoke to him. It's a blessing to be reproved for our sins, my hearers. He said, "Why hast thou done this unto us? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" Meaning thereby, I would have never taken her into my home. Abraham, he didn't have a word to say. He was guilty. He had done this. And now he says to him, "Here, take your wife and go. Get out of this country." And now he had to leave Egypt. But the king, he was so afraid, because he realized that Abraham was a favorite of God, And that God had sent these plagues down upon them because of that. And now he didn't want any of his people to do anything wrong to Abraham and his wife. So he gave him a guard to lead him out of the country so that nobody would touch them, for fear that the plagues would come back upon him again. Abraham then was led out of the land of Egypt and protected by this king. This king did very good to Abraham. He didn't punish him for what he had done, but he treated him well. Abraham then went up out of the land of Egypt. In the next chapter, he was a rich man, very rich, with cattle, with silver, and with gold. Where did he get this from? He hadn't had these riches yet when he went to Egypt, and he had no thought, I don't think, in his mind, that ever that this would take place and that he would become rich down in Egypt. This wasn't on his mind. The only thing that was on his mind, that his wife would be protected. And here he had brought her into temptation in this way. Now see in Abraham, who was promised a seed that would be innumerable, an exact resemblance of what happened to that seed. 450 years later, the Israelites went down into Egypt, Jacob and his family. There was a famine, right? They went down there to live. Pharaoh went down to Egypt too because there was, Abraham went to Egypt because there was a famine. And now, Abraham was delivered by the plagues that God sent upon Pharaoh. The Israelites, the seed of Abraham, were delivered too out of Egypt. God brought immense plagues down upon Pharaoh at that time in that country. And now when Abraham was delivered out of this Egypt, he went up out of Egypt rich. He had taken silver and gold and cattle and the things that Pharaoh had given unto him. He had the spoil of the Egyptians. So likewise, when the Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt, the Egyptians gave them anything they wanted. Get out of the land. Get out of the land. Because the plague was so bad. They were only too glad to get rid of the people. The same thing with Abraham and the Israelites. A very good resemblance. And now Abraham went up out of the land of Egypt and came back into the land of Canaan. And when he came back, he headed for that place where God met him, where he had raised up an altar, and where God had come to him and had communed with him and told him that he would give him the land upon which he was, and his seed would inherit it. He came back to the altar. Abraham didn't leave his religion back in Egypt. Oh no, Abraham's religion was in his heart. Abraham came back to acknowledge God for the sparing mercies over him and his wife and all that were with him. Lot, his brother's son, also went up with him out of Egypt. And he likewise was rich in cattle. He was blessed because he was with Abraham. But this man, Abraham, coming to this altar to acknowledge God, proves to us that he was a living man. It is true. Every Christian born again becomes a praying soul. If you do not pray, my dear hearers, then it is a sure proof that you are Christless. If Christ and his Spirit is dwelling within you, then you will be a man or a woman of prayer. To be prayerless is to be dead, to be outside of the covenant of Christ. What an awful thing to be prayerless. Have I those listening to me that have no habit of praying, who forget, who go on in this life, I can't follow you at your home. I know not your life, but I'm pretty sure there are such, probably amongst my Bible class, that have no habit of praying. No matter how old you may be, you've been taught maybe from infancy to do so, but as you grow up, indifferent, careless, forgetful, you go on. That's it. It's sad that we have to say this, but it's true, very true. Oh, my dear hearers, God gives prayer, God hears prayer. And what a mercy to be like Abraham. Abraham went back to a place where God met with him and where God had given him a promise. Have any of my hearers such a place in your life? Have you ever been stopped on the way to hell, I would say, and brought by the grace of God to kneel before him and to worship him? Do you know anything of a place in your life like Jacob? When he was running away from his home, he came to Bethel. And at this place, he had a dream. And there he seen a ladder stretched up unto heaven, and angels going up and down on this ladder, and God above the ladder. God spake to him, promised him that he would be with him. Jacob, he made a vow at this place. At this place that I'm talking about Jacob, this is where Jacob was. It was the same place. Odd, isn't it? That God meets people sometimes in the same place where he met others. It's a never-to-be-forgotten place in your life, my hearers, when God meets with you. From then you become a praying person, and all your life will be a life of prayer. Even though at times there's no face, there's no feeling, it's just form, you still consciously will not omit it. A blessing, my hearers, to be born again and to receive this life in your soul. Abraham then, he worshiped God in this place. And when he had likewise raised an altar, and he had likewise found communion and fellowship with God, and then we find likewise that God appeared again to Abraham, and God communed with him. He and Lot had went up together, and they both were rich. They both had an innumerable multitude of cattle, and this land in which they were in were not able to bear them. There was too much cattle, too much mixture together, and therefore we find that the scripture says the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and those of Lot, they had a strife with each other. Doesn't say what the strife was about, but it probably was about the pasture. Parts of it probably was very rich with grass, and their cattle could feed on this. And probably the mixture of cattle, both of them in the same place, and the herdsmen, they're fighting with each other to get the cattle away from each other, to keep them separated. And they came to Abraham and they came to Lot and they told them about the thing. And of course, this could not exist and continue like this. It's too bad that when we have servants like Abraham and Lot had, that they have to come to their masters and they have to explain to them the troubles that they have with each other. Oh, there are many servants sometimes in homes where there is wealth, where one can have a servant, that the servant spills the beans, we say. They scandalize the person that has hired them, they speak against them, many evil things are said about them. In all probabilities, these herdmen did the same thing. They were speaking against Abraham and against Lot. So they couldn't continue like this. But there was a strife. Now, we find what an excellent spirit there was in Abraham. Abraham called Lot to himself, and he said, "Lot, let there be no strife between your herdmen and my herdmen." He didn't want to have any strife. He wanted peace. He was a man that desired peace. And he says, "The land is before us," he says. Now, this land had been given unto Abraham by promise, the whole of it. But he says to Lot, "Choose what part of this land you want. If you take the right side, I'll take the left. If you take the left, I'll take the right. You make your choice." Lot, he looks towards the plain, and he sees all along the river Jordan, the grass was so nice and green, and it was so nice to live in. His heart was set on going to this place. This man, Lot, he was a nephew of Abraham. He had to call Abraham uncle. And he had been with Abraham because his father had died and Abraham had taken him with him and had taken care of him. And while he was with Abraham, he also had become rich. And now, while they were together, they were almost inseparable. But now, because both of them were rich, they had to be separated. You see, riches separated them. And Abraham has a spirit which he revealed that God had given him. He could have said, "Well, Lot, God has given me this land by promise. Now, if you want to go somewhere, go." But no, he didn't do that. No, he says to him, "You take whatever side you want, and I'll take what's left over." That was a noble thing of Abraham to do this. And Lot, he chose the plain, which was very beautiful to live in. The Bible says it was like the garden of the Lord. In other words, the garden of Eden. When you go down into the land of Egypt, by Zoar, it says, it must have been a beautiful territory. And now in this choice of Lot, we take particular notice. He was the nephew. He should have said to Abraham, which he didn't, "Abraham, you're much older than me. I've been with you all this time, and now that we're going to separate, you take what you want first. You make your choice. And after that, I'll make mine." No, he didn't say that at all. He had his eye upon that beautiful territory, and this is what his heart desired, and this is what he made choice of. People in life, sometimes, they only choose with the eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life makes them make a choice of a place to dwell in, of a place to live in and to work in, or a business that they like to go into. They have something in view. It's mostly with the eye and with the flesh that they make choice. Lot made this choice of this place, and we find that he and Abraham separated. But take particular notice of the choice he made. He never had a good day where he went. The Bible says that the people that dwelt in Sodom were feared greatly before the Lord. You know, we're living in sad times, we are. And we know there are areas where there is so much thievery and so much murder going on and so much sin being carried on, we wouldn't want to live there. You wouldn't want to make a choice of living in some places that you know. And now, Lot chose this place, fully knowing that these people were this way. But he chose this because of the territory. It was a nice place, good for his cattle. He expected that he would get very rich there. He was rich already. And as he had chosen this place, the people in this place, they should have respected this man. In fact, God actually sent this man in his providence to this place. And he, when he came there, he was hated by them. He was molested and he was persecuted because he didn't do the things that they did, and he probably protested against them. You know, before God's going to destroy a place, he usually sends a preacher. And this is what he did. He sent Lot there. The Bible teaches us that he vexed his soul every day in that place. He didn't have it so good in that place. That's because he made that place his choice. And that was worse yet. If we have made a choice and we have done this ourselves, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. Had he now went to Abraham and said, "Listen, Abraham, we've been together all this while, and now we have to separate. Let's get down on our knees and ask God for counsel. Let's ask him where we should go and what we should do." They didn't do that. Those that are listening to me, if you plan to do something, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will direct thy path. Lot didn't acknowledge him. He went according to the eye, he went according to the flesh, and here we have him in the land of Sodom, and God set a fire over the top of the town, and he had to flee to the mountain. That became his choice. And my dear hearers, when iniquity and sin abounds, as it did in Sodom, for all over in Scripture we read, they declare their sin like Sodom. So these people, they were impudent. They were awful. We're all sinners, every one of us. But some are more fearful sinners than others. And that's what these men were in Sodom. They declared their sin. They didn't care. They were impudent. They didn't know what God would do to them, but they didn't care what he would do. So we find many people in our time, they don't care about anything. They are sinners to a man. Awful. So these people were. And before God is going to bring any judgments down upon a place, he usually sends a preacher to bring the people to repentance. But they did not come to repentance in Sodom. And Lot, he had to dwell in this place, and he didn't have it too good for his immortal soul. And now, after Lot had departed and separated from Abraham, we find that Abraham had a visit from God. It wasn't very good that he had to separate from his nephew. They had been companions, they had been friends, and they always joined together in conversation, but now they wouldn't have this anymore. And maybe God came to him for this reason. Maybe after he had made this declaration to Lot, he got maybe envious, Abraham, and he thought, "Why did I do this? I shouldn't have done this." And maybe he wanted to get down to this territory too. But now God came to him. Oh, when we're in a sad condition, and when we don't feel that God is right and just and doing that which is good to us, then sometimes it pleases God to come to us. He came to Abraham when he was in this state and in this condition. And what did he do? He promised Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Look from where the place you are. look to the south, look to the north, look to the east, look to the west. All this land will I give unto you. And he says to him, can you count the dust that's on the ground? If you can count the dust that's on the ground, so shall thy seed be. In other words, it would be an innumerable seed. Nobody would be able to count. But the seed that would come forth out of Abraham's loins. What a promise he had then. God came to him. God comforted him. God encouraged him when this man Lot had separated from him. Some of you, my hearers, you're separated from relations. You've lost your husband. You lost your wife. You've been a widow. You've been this way for a long time. Did God come and visit you after such a thing took place with you? He knew this had taken place. He knows the state and condition of your soul. And usually he comes to comfort such. You know, we may lose friends, we may lose relations, but we never can lose the friendship of God. He is a faithful God and remains so forever and ever for his people. And so Abraham experienced a wonderful meeting with God. They aren't too often that we have meetings with God in this life. Abraham was an exception. He enjoyed then communion with God. Have you ever had any communion with God in this life? Has God ever visited you, smiled on you, spoken to your soul? What a blessing, my hearers. He's one that sticketh closer than any brother. Abraham then enjoyed this communion with God and was given a wonderful promise. He was married and he didn't have any children. It didn't look like they ever would have any children. And still God told him his seed would be more than the dust that was upon the earth. Wonderful blessing that God came to Abraham with. In that blessing was also the blessing that Christ would spring forth out of his seed. Abraham, it says in Scripture, seen God's day. Abraham seen Christ in the promise and enjoyed Christ in the promise long before Christ came upon this earth. And when the Jews said, we are Abraham's seed, then Jesus said unto them, Abraham has seen my day. So Abraham, even way back then, was given faith in the promise that Jesus would come forth out of his loins in due time, the seed of Abraham. Abraham then remained in this country. And he went up and down in the breadth of it. He had a promise that this country would be his country and his seed likewise. What a blessing, my hearers, if in this life God gives us a promise of a better country than Canaan ever will be. For that country that is in glory above, that place that was not made with hands but eternal in the heavens, when God may give you a view by faith of heaven and what it will be to be there, it exceeds the most beautifulest view that you ever had in this life. Any view of sense by faith, this view, is seeing God, is seeing Christ, is being there forever and ever. All this has a promise in it, that you will see God's face with joy and be with him to enjoy his presence and never to go out anymore. All this heavenly Canaan above is that wonderful country that is spoken of in Scripture, a place that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor is it ever come up into the heart of man what God has promised for them that love him. Oh, to have in this life a sight of what it will be for yourself to be there will make you so small, will make you sink so into nothing, to think that God has prepared a place for you and that you will be with God forever and ever to enjoy his presence. I hope that every one of us may have such a sight by faith of that glory above, and that we all may be longing and desiring to be there. The Lord bless our feeble instruction this afternoon to your immortal souls. For his name's sake, that's all for today.